Hello and welcome to a new episode of Blog Tales. Today I have Diana with me. I'm super happy having you here. Thank you for being our guest. So first of all, maybe you can make like a very quick introduction and then we can kind of start to dig deeper in many different topics, because just to let all of you know, there are so many things I'm really curious about. And you have an amazing story, because I know you already a little bit. So happy to talk to you and listen to what you've to tell.
Thank you so much for the invitation and for opening this space, because as you said, it's all about Blog Tales. It's about telling the story that's behind a person. And I don't think that I ever did this before. So maybe we'll really dig deep today. But as we are recording on a Friday, it's almost 3 p.m. So my brain feels like I was always saying in German, like a mashed banana.
Oh,
you know, when you just how to say, mash a banana and like this puree kind of stuff. Yeah, this is how my brain feels at the end of the week. But anyways, I'm here. We already had a really nice chat before, so I'm energized. I'm happy to tell you something about me. So yes, I'm Diana. Today I am in Hamburg, which is the city I've chosen to live, to run my business. I'm the founder of Women DAO, which is an founders and investors network for women and non-binary people. So we are like more than less like an incubator, bringing people together to work on several projects to create a more diverse Web3 space.
And which is super important, because there are way too less women at the moment.
Yes. Absolutely. And we launched our DAO on Q blockchain a few weeks ago, which was...
I know that! You have to tell us more about that part.
That happened in June. We're doing also... What is probably interesting for the people who are listening, we're doing our aperitivo sessions, which are live podcasts. So we're going from city to city. The next will be Berlin. Then we will come to Munich, where hopefully we'll see you again. And the last one for this year will be in Frankfurt. So more than less, that's about me, everything I have to say. But when I describe myself as person, I always say I'm like an alien, because I'm artist by heart. So if I could make my living... just by doing art, I would be pretty happy. But at the end of the day, I produce a lot of art through photography and poetry and all this stuff, but I never sell it. I once wrote a book and I sold these 100 pieces because it was a limited edition. And then I never ever did an art project where you were able to buy in or to buy something, because I was also thinking about NFTs and so on and so on, but we will talk about this later.
So you kind of really ended up in the hardcore business world. The art does play a huge role in Web3, but nevertheless, there's so many different things. But before we start, we always love to ask the question, how would you describe your everyday life to your grandma?
So if my grandma was still alive, I would say, grandma, I'm creating a diverse space. And because everything I do, basically everything I do day by day, whatever task it is, it has the purpose to create a more diversity in every part of our lives. So within chats to people, in interviews, and the things that I create, the concepts I write, the companies, because I'm a consultant, I work with many companies to make their projects more, or their company more diverse, and to create a safer space for people to feel more welcome. So this is it.
That's nice. That's amazing. So where to start? Yes. I mean, maybe let's start with, I know you're doing so much for women, especially in the Web3 space. But as far as I know, you started trying to empower more women in in any different or in many different ways already before you started with Web3. So maybe we can kind of start at that point. So how did you end up working so much for women, trying to empower them, trying to help them, trying to really open up new spaces? How did that story start?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we really have to go somewhere back in the past. Long time ago. So yes, I have a pretty difficult story, and maybe we will also jump in later. But what happened was when I finished school, I realized that I'm not that good in working for somebody else. And I did not know why, because people always told me, oh, you have to fit in, you have to be this, you have to be that. And I really felt bad about this because I was 21 and I was just like, why can't people accept me as the person who I am? So sometimes people say, oh, you were like mutig, you had this courage to get self-employed this early, in early age. But the real thing about this is that I did not have another chance. There was no opportunity. I had to do something with my life. I had to earn money because we all need to earn money.
Unfortunately,
and therefore, I was just like, okay, nobody will give me a job. So I have to create my own company. And this was, I was so young when I started working as a freelancer for social media. So it's really, it's so long ago. I always say that the story, I got 250 euros per month for taking pictures, writing and plan when to post things on Facebook. For 250 euros, wow. Which is basically nothing. But people back in the days, they were like, yeah, but Facebook, who knows, needs Facebook? Yeah. And then we got Instagram and influencers. And when I started to explain people, oh, this is so important, we're going to need this, we will be surrounded by all of these topics, they were just like, oh, no, no, no. And then years later, I was able to make money out of it. But every time when I started, also now in Web3, I started with my, especially Women DAO. I founded it back in 2021. So, and we're still not in the making money process. So we're still we're in the making money process. We're getting there, but we're still not making money. So, and for me, it was always like, especially when looking at women, and I had, so many words were missing back in the days because I was in my early 20s. I worked for automotive industry and I always heard sentences like, oh, you can do this pretty well for a woman, or you can drive pretty good for a woman. Oh, you have a big car for a woman. And I was always like, why does this bother me so hard?
But why does it matter? I mean, why does it matter that I'm a woman?
Yes. And then I was almost 30. I had a chat with a woman and she asked me, she said, Diana, do you identify yourself as a feminist? And I looked at her and I was like, no, why? I don't need this because look how far I've come. And then she said, did you ever think about that maybe you had to take these extra miles, extra hours, just because you're a woman? And I was like, yeah, sure, because I have to prove myself. And she was like, what, sure? What is sure about that? So is your brain different? Do you work differently? Is something else wrong with you? So why do you think it is okay that you have to prove yourself to people just because you're a woman? And then it was the first time that I understood what feminism is, what sexism is, why we need to work on this topic. Even thought back in the days when I started to do all this online community and brand building stuff, I was always looking to create the most inclusive concepts, but there was no diversity and inclusion work back then, because I was just trying to represent different people without giving it a name. So, it was just like, oh, okay. And then I was realizing how many things happened to me just because I thought it was my fault, just because I thought it's because I'm a woman. Just because I thought, oh, it's because of my blonde hair or my green eyes or because of this or because of my outfit I was wearing. And I was always, because my socialization was pretty traditional. Mm-hmm. So I learned to hold back. I learned to adapt. And then even years later, I learned about neurodiversity, what basically means that we all have different brains. Our brains, they work differently. So, and for me,
but every brain, not only between women and men, like
every brain. So, and then I was talking to a psychiatrist and she said to me, but you have ADHD. And I was like, what do I have? And she was like, yes. And then we were chatting about that and going deeper and digging deeper. And also because some people or also therapists, it told me, yeah, this is a reaction on your trauma from your childhood. And I was always like, I'm reacting. But now I know, okay, I work differently. And ADHD was long time seen as an difficult disease.
Yes. Today, I think it's still seen as something negative as far as I know. So maybe you can help us a little with how things turned out for you, how you handled it.
Because one person said to me, your brain works that fast. This is a superpower.
Got it.
And from this point, I was just like, right. I just have to adapt my surrounding. I have to adapt my surrounding. I have to probably find some people who are supporting me. And this was also the time when I was choosing to onboard Maggie into the Women DAO, because she is more in the organization kind of thing. She likes to write all these messages organization, where I'm just looking at the phone and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even see these emails anymore. But she is doing it. And for her, it's fine. And she already
even
learned,
enjoys doing that kind of work.
And she already learned to understand myself, because sometimes she is just like, okay, Diana, just shut up for a second. And I'm like, okay, because you're going too fast. Give me a second to breathe and then we can continue. Because sometimes I do even not realize how fast and how many tasks. I just try to, it's not like an internet explorer where you have to just task just right in a row. My tasks open up here and there and back and then you have tasks from the task to the task, and I do not write things down. So for Maggie, it's always like, she says, where did you put the words? Where did you write it down? Do you have a note? And I'm like, no, it's everything in my brain.
It's amazing that you found somebody with whom you can work together in such an amazing way. Because I think if people are different, you really have to kind of get to know each other and find a way how to really have a good work environment and use the strengths of every person.
Absolutely. And someday Web3 happened and things in Web3 that I did not feel comfortable with. And I was just like, okay, this is a new thing happening. And if nobody will take care about diversity, we will end up having all this shit just reproduced. And therefore I founded Women DAO, and this is what I do.
How did you hear about Women DAO? About Web3. So what was your first touch point? Because I said that already several times, I knew so many men and they had a friend or a cousin or a friend from a friend, and they kind of introduced each other. And for me, it was super hard at the beginning to kind of get into that space because I didn't know anybody. And I was like, how should I even start? So how was it for you? How did you kind of get introduced in Web3? How did you start? What had been like your first sources of reading and understanding?
So it was in 2020 when the first NFT collections and for mostly art NFTs dropped.
So it was the art part.
And I was always wondering why people pay for digital art, not for digital art itself, because we everybody sells something digitally. Just look at Etsy. You can download things digitally and print it yourself. So it's basically the same. So, and I did not get it. And then in 2021, when the first NFT projects popped up, I was like, there's so much hype and I do not understand it, because I saw the power of NFTs itself in the technology, but I did not get how people were treating it. All this trading stuff, all these hyping up things stuff, how, just look at Bored Ape Yacht Club. And I was always wondering, and then I looked, I was just following so many different NFT projects, and I was like, this is shit happening. there's so much shit happening because we are misusing the technology. And then I went to Fuerteventura for 4 months, and I had time. So what I did the first 2 weeks, I signed up literally everywhere, in every call, Zoom call, because a lot of things are happening online anyways. I don't remember how many podcasts, how many YouTube streams. I just absorbed it. After these 3 months, the first 3 months, I was just like looking up how many hours I spent with Web3 education. And it was almost 700 hours.
Wow.
Which was really crazy, because
this is like a really huge number.
Yes. This was, I woke up at night to attend and call in LA, or to do something with the Indian or Asian market, because I really wanted to absorb and to understand the technology, to understand how we will use it. Because I remember when I said it, I think it was in February or March, I was in a Twitter space. And no, it was February. It was before everything just crashed. And I said, this is bullshit, because the people were like, oh yeah, now the year, it will just get more and more and more day by day. You will see it. I was like, no, because there are no new people onboarded. There, all the women, they're still missing. So what you start is the cannibalizing all the other projects. So at one point, people will just reduce the projects they're involved in, because they can't be involved in every project full time, which is mostly needed to keep a project running, because it's all about the people who are with the project. And I said, it's not going to work. It will not happen. And then just 2 weeks later, everything just collapsed. And I wasn't surprised, not at all, because
7 cents.
Because if you hear men speaking about things, they always speak about men doing things. And at one point, you will have all the interested men onboarded, but the other 50% of women, they're still missing. And then this was also the point when I said, I think the next bull run will be led by women. And I really believe that, and I still believe that, because we're still in the process. Everything that is founded by women in the Web3 space is here to last. There is nothing, there are no projects where I have the feeling, oh, they are suffering. Because what they did from the first day was, we got money from the community, we reinvest in the community. We are investing into education, into building, into what the fuck ever. But it's an more like what comes around goes around process, which keeps the thing growing slowlier, but it's growing, instead of hyping things up. And then you will find the dumbest one who will jump in at highest price and lose everything. And this is why all the people who lost money just jumped off the space.
What you're saying. I even get a little goosebumps if you talk about what you said. It's here to last, what women are building. So it's going to be good. Let's talk a little bit about Women DAO, because as far as I know, I think it's the biggest community in Germany, which is like, congrats on that. It's not that easy to build something like that, to be honest. It's like, you. I mean, I literally, at least in the blockchain Web3 space, I think everybody knows that Women DAO is existing. So this is like, I think this is like huge accomplishment. Thank you. I mean, you said you started like digging deeper, learning in 2020, and you already founded Women DAO in 2021. Mm-hmm. So there was not so much time in between. And how, I mean, you just said you had a launch now. So how are things going? What happened in between? What's like the current status?
Yes. So I think we were online the beginning of January 2022. And what I basically did was all the education I did for myself, I just put it into words, because a thing that I can do, because this is my profession, is brand and community building. So yeah. I started just to transform all my learnings into little snippets that are easy to consume, because...
And you did it in German, right? Because, yes. I mean, we are talking English now, which is fine, but mm-hmm. A lot of things are in English, but it's hard to get like really good content, or it was even back then, it was even more difficult to get content in German. So I think you have been one of the first really focusing on the German language.
Absolutely, because sometimes we misunderstand or oversee the gaps, and gaps for women are time, money, and for sure, if you have to learn something in another language, it's even more difficult. So I started in English, I would say for maybe 2 to 3, 4, 5 days, and then I switched to German, because I understood, okay, act local, but think global. So I was, everything that I was consuming globally, I was trying to put locally so that a woman next to me will be able to profit, benefit from this. And this was more than less the birth hour of Women DAO as community. And then I was really focusing on education. So everything I put out in the world was for education purpose. So I did podcasts, I did interviews, I did everything, YouTube live streams. I did so many things. I went live on Instagram. I spoke on so many conferences, stages. I was really... Yes, I was literally 24/7 available online and offline.
And it's very exhausting, I guess.
It's exhausting. And then I got so many awards. I got awarded several times because people were just like congratulating me for the things that we achieved and the women and the community we built. And at the end of the year, I realized... But nevertheless, more than 10,000 people, I reached more than 10,000 people over the whole year, but there are just a few people left. Why is that? Or a few women left. Why is that? And then I started speaking to women and I was just like, okay, maybe we need to up-level this thing to educate probably 100,000 people. But why aren't the women there? Why are they still missing? And I had a chat in December. It was also when we were also chatting a lot from 2022 to 2023. Mm-hmm. And then I was speaking to this typical white man. And he said to me, Diana, the things you're doing there on purpose, which is pretty nice, but they are for a good cause. So this is not an investment case for me. So if you need money, I can just give you something to play around, but we are not going to do business. And it really got me pretty hard, because I always had the idea. And also when we were speaking, it was just like, I want to do something like an investment circle, a business angel circle. It was always back I had it in mind, but I did not focus on it because I thought maybe this will be the next or the whatever step, the 15th step, but not the next big step. And then I took my time and I said, okay, we need to a rebranding for our Women DAO. We need to reshape how people look at us. And I was really thinking hard, how to create a network that is also an investment case, because it's for economic reasons. And then I was just like structuring my thoughts. And then one day I was calling Maggie and I said, okay, I have to do a solution. We will do 50 NFTs to create our DAO, which means that we are putting our community on a decentralized level where we can just have things transparently represented. So all the votes, all the voices, everybody is heard and seen, because you are not able to manage more than 50 people. So I said 50 people for the beginning, this is it. This is enough. And then we will put together and we will choose the people who are joining the Women DAO, because they need to want to be the change. There are so many women out there who are absorbing things, but they are like more like swimming with the masses instead of standing out and stepping up and putting energy in. So we were really focusing on women who are there to change something, even though they have a Web3 business or probably a Web2 business or whatever. So what we did the past 2 months almost was onboarding women and creating this first inner circle kind of vibe, where we already work on projects, where we already evaluate what we need, what are we going to do next, where do we need money, where do I probably put another woman as a presence to represent Women DAO instead of me, because I don't want to be on stages all the time. So
you can't be even
absolutely.
Only the time for traveling is sometimes so crazy, so you can't handle everything on your own. But so yes. How many women do you have in your system or in your DAO at the moment? Because maybe, and which kind of, I don't know, which kind of women do you search? Because if like other women might hear that podcast, and if they would think like, oh, that sounds so amazing. So what is the kind of, what do you search for? What would be like interesting to join?
Yes. So right now we're 20 women, because I had the feeling we have to start small and grow strong and also safe, because it's easier to catch the feedback of 20 women than 50. Because I also had the feeling there was a lot of interest outside to join the Women DAO. But I always tend to say what you bring to the table, what comes around goes around. So if you bring your time, your experience, you will also receive a lot. And this is what we are doing. So we are always also hosting mastermind sessions where we have people speaking and sharing their experiences. So because mostly women ask me on my own and to do one-on-one sessions, but I can't do this with every woman all the time. So what we are doing is all these mastermind sessions. So we are working on this project. Right now, I think it's 22 women. We will onboard until 25, and then we will do a break and just see what happens until the end of the year, if we will onboard maybe 5 more or just stay with this 25, because what I also try to do is with all the collaborations we have, for example, with MasterCard, I also try to place the women as experts, so that we are going to produce content with them and also several masterclasses and something like this, education content. And this is also what I do with other brands. So I always try to give women the platform to be their own expert and also evolve themselves to an expert, because mostly they just think, yeah, I'm just playing around, maybe I'm not an expert at all, but you are. And the more you give and the more you put into your education, the more expert you will become. So, and this is what we do right now. So if anybody is interested in joining WomanDAO, the most important thing is you need to be self-employed, because as we're working on projects like in collective, you need to be able to write invoices. So this is what's really important. But we have a ceramics designer. We have also 3D designers with who we were doing our, I don't know if you have seen it, our digital wearables, these beautiful earrings, which are, because I just said, I want earrings that look like tears, because we were crying so much the past year, but also with diamonds, because we're still here and representing this proof of work. And then I got this beautiful earrings. So huge shout out to Shelley and Nina who did this for, so you can just download it via a Snapchat and then you can wear this beautiful earrings. And yeah, and we did also these cafe cups with the proof of work slogan on it. We're doing a few things that are still hidden, but we're doing something like a notebook, but more like a coffee table book.
Oh, that's nice.
So this is what we're also working on, and there is so many more things coming up just from the women who met to create something together on purpose.
Wow, that's super, super, super cool. I really love what you're saying. And I was just thinking, because I was screening some of your posts, and there was one post kind of really stood out, and it says like, don't buy me flowers, give me equity. Yes. Oh, this is so amazing. I mean, flowers are lovely and nice, and I think we are all happy about flowers, but that's not the point of life. It's more Absolutely. About the business part. We are not only flowers, we are kind of both.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, I really enjoyed what you said there. And yeah. I think it's super cool that you really empower women and that you really build your business around that. And it's really great work. And if there are like 30 spaces left, there are a lot of, maybe interesting women outside who might apply to join.
Absolutely. And what is so important for me when it comes to this flowers post, it was also for me associated to the topic of getting awarded. And because I felt like you're getting an award and people are like, oh, you're doing such a great work. But at the end of the day, the thing that I really need to develop or also evolve my work is I need money, because I'm not just here for the good cause. I'm not for gemeinnützig.
I know what you mean.
Non-profit.
Non-profit. We all have to pay for our rent.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely necessary that we also earn money and that we also get paid for what we are doing.
Yes. And sometimes yesterday I had a chat with a friend of mine, and she said she's working on a project and they just assumed that she will do the same work or even more for the same price like she did last year. And then she was discussing with the people and also the company owners and the people who were offering her the job. And then she said, but I can't make it for this money, because also last year we were just, it was just way more work. And I already told you. And then she said, we really have to double up the budget, because otherwise it won't work. So, and they were discussing, and then he was not doubling up the budget, but he gave her €1,000 more, which is way too less. And he said to her, this is because I really appreciate your work, so I'm giving you €1,000 more. And she was like, in this moment, she was really, she felt this huge anger and she just wanted to leave, because it's not because you appreciate a person, just paid woman.
But she's doing an amazing job, I guess.
Just pay the women for the work that they do. You will never ever say to a man, oh, because I appreciate you, I will give you 1,000 more. Because, digga.
Are you kidding?
Just keep your shit together and go away. So, for me, it's like, it makes me crazy. Things that happen to us women, when it comes to businesses, also when we say in German, this übergriffige Verhalten, which is when people like overwork, how to describe this best? When they're overgoing your
boundaries.
And this does not only happen on a physical way, this happens day by day on a mental way. And when people tell you, especially men, and they are just declining your worth, and they are telling you how much you can maybe demand for a work that you're doing the best way you can. And this is so hard to digest, because when I speak to women when it comes to personal branding and all this stuff, and they're like, oh, how can you keep up with this? And how can you do this? And it's just like, yes, it's a process. And I'm still hurt. And sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm strong. And then some days I'm not. And some days words or sayings will bother me. And on other days I will be just fine and just like, oh, what the fuck? I don't care. But you never know. And sometimes you will have this huge trigger and then you will feel like all this hurt that is within us. And I also said to one VC, because he said, you need to be hungry, you need to be aggressive. And I was like, I have so much pain inside my body, but I'm so done with it. I do not want to reproduce any negativity. I'm here, I'm coming in peace. Everything I do is peacefully. It's not balanced. It's never balanced at all. Fuck balance. We do not have balance. But it's with my peace of mind. And I don't want to fight anymore. I'm so done with fighting. And this is so important also for us women to find ourselves within this process, because otherwise it will just drain us. And at some point we will drain us to death. And then you're just like walking zombies, trying to survive in a world that's not built for us.
Wow. This is so, so amazing what you just said, and so kind of wise already. And I think you thought a lot about all those topics. And I think it's so important, especially as a woman or as a woman, to really think about your own values, think about your own boundaries. And especially the topic of boundaries is super important, because in a world where we are mostly influenced by men, and this is the Web3 space is mostly influenced by men, we really have to think about our boundaries and what we want to achieve and how we want to live and behave and work and do business in that space.
Absolutely.
There's no right or wrong, but we have to think about how we want to behave. And I think you are like super clear on your way, on your path. And I think like every woman should think about that. And there is no reason to behave in a certain way only because somebody told us to do so. It's like, no.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also to just, it's okay to find your voice, and this takes time, because sometimes when I speak to other women, they look at me and they're like, you're such an inspiration. And I'm like, thank you.
But it was hard work.
It is still hard work, and I'm still suffering, and there are still moments where I just have the feeling I can't make it, because every day I wake up in a world that does not feel right for me. So many years I had really issues with identifying myself as a woman, because everybody told me, oh, with 30, you have to be this, you have to be that, you have to be married. I was raised in Austria, so my socialization is pretty traditional. So everybody was looking at me, why don't you want to get married? Why don't you want to have kids? This is wrong. As a woman, you have to be different. And I really tried, and I suffered, and I tried, and I suffered. And I felt like every time a piece of me was just dying by trying to fit in into these boxes, but I wasn't able to fit in. And then they were like, oh, you are too loud here, you are too calm there, you are too visible, you are too sexy. And I was like, why is my body part of the game? Why do people even sexualize my body? It's so difficult for me. And it was so wrong, everything that I learned about my body, because right now I'm working on an art project, which is called Monochromia Sessions. So for the people who want to know more about it, you will find it on Instagram. Because I had to learn that my body is not put there in public to be judged by people or to be sexualized by men. My body is just a body. It's my temple. It's the temple of my soul, my heart. It's not about my boobs. It's not about my ass. It's not about anything about that. But I learned you can't be sexy and smart in the same time. So if you act like a Barbie with your blonde hair and wearing high heels or maybe a dress, nobody will take you seriously. So and I really observed it. So it was in every cell of my body. And I'm still trying. I try to wear dresses, which is so difficult for me, because when I look in the mirror, I'm always like, who's that person? I wear my hair open, which is always pretty hard for me, because sometimes I look in the mirror and I'm like, okay, now when I'm walking the streets, men will act differently. Because mostly I prefer wearing a cap, a hoodie, a bomber jacket, boots, everything black. So this is how I feel the most comfortable. But I understood that I just feel the most comfortable because I think with these clothes, I'm the most safe. And this is so shitty. And every day when I chat with other women and I feel their pain and we're going through these topics, I'm just like, it's such a long way to go. We are still not free. As long as women aren't free, men will be neither. So we have to work together on this topic. And now we are creating the future of our internet. We have to do it together. Otherwise, we will have all this bullshit just same, same. But different. But same, same. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm just off topic. We were talking about Web3.
No, you're totally not off topic, because this is exactly what you are kind of standing for. And this is exactly about your experiences and your values. And I'm really happy that you're so open and so vulnerable. I hate that word.
Yes, vulnerable.
I really appreciate your way of talking and telling us about your experiences and what your thoughts are. Because from my point of view, there's nothing to add. This is just, I love what you're saying. I agree with everything. And I think it's so important to find the strengths in yourself to be how you would like to live your life.
Absolutely.
So, Diana, there's nothing to add from my side.
Yeah.
I'm just like so happy about what you said. And like, is there anything else you would like to share? Please feel free. But from my side, it's like, okay, I don't have any further questions. It's just like, it's perfect.
It's maybe one thing, because I really try to put it in every discussion, in every interview, on every stage. It's all about privilege. Because when you look at me, I am German passing as fuck. I am white. I have green eyes, blonde hair. My German is perfect. My name is Diana Eder. Sometimes people wonder about Diana, but nobody wonders about Eder. And I had to learn that this was the biggest privilege I was born with and also what was given to me, because I was born in Slovenia and with a different name. I came to Austria, so I became an Austrian citizen, which made things really easy for me. With an Austrian passport, literally you can travel the whole world. So there, just, I think it's just the Swiss passport that is even better, but this is it. Everywhere else I am welcome, so I can move completely freely just because of my skin color and because of my passport and the name that is given to me. Because people, when they were talking to me, especially when my name was changed into Ida, nobody assumed that I was born somewhere else. And also when here in Germany, for me, it's pretty easy, because sometimes people wonder, because I have this very strong R, this rolled R. But this is it. And then, but nobody questions me walking the street just because who I am. So the one thing that is probably my biggest, discrimination is that I'm a woman, but at least I'm a white woman with blonde hair, no disabilities, living here in Hamburg. So it's that easy. And this is a privilege. And I had to learn this because we have people around us with different names, different religion, with because also you can't see if I'm hetero, if I'm queer, you don't see it because it's not written on my face. So I'm really privileged. And what I always try to tell people is check your privilege, because then you will see also with your family background, what was given to you just because of the family, the education you were able to go through, all the things. These are pretty worthy. And then look at on your left, on your right, who are the people in front of you? Who are the people suffering next to you? And everybody of us can do something about that. And I also had to learn that the hard way, because when I realized there are women who are just discriminated because they're wearing a scarf, or there are women who are discriminated because they are black, so they are women and black, or wearing and black and wearing a scarf and a difficult name and probably not the perfect German, you are literally fucked in a country like Germany, which is so open-minded, but it's not at the end of the day. So everybody of us has the power to change something for somebody else, and this will happen by understanding your privileges and how much power you have through your voice. So I can use my power not to speak only for white women in Germany, but for all the women who will never, ever, ever, ever get a spot on the stage. Maybe this is my last word.
Thank you so much for sharing, Diana. I think it's super, super, super important. Again, what you said, because we are all born and raised with different advantages and maybe disadvantages. You talked about skin color. You talked about where you're born. So another thing I was sometimes thinking about is like some people, there are so many things that come into place. Like, do you have like rich parents or do you have like poor parents? Is it easy for you to fit in the standard? Like, is it so people want to stay fit, to stay healthy, to have a good looking, but for some people it's a lot easier to fit in there, and some for some people it's super hard to be that. And another thing is like we are all not born with the same brain, for some people it's a lot easier to be successful in our current world because they, for example, understand business and math and stuff. And so we have so many differences. And I think it's super important to be aware of that, especially Absolutely. If we are on the privileged side. And I really enjoyed what you're saying. Again, thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much. Yes. And in the end of the day, we can always ask. So if you really show interest for people, it's okay to ask and to ask about how do you feel? How do you really feel? Because then people will open up and probably they will tell you a bit more about where they come from and what the way was. Because always when I look back on my past, I'm like, sometimes I'm really sad because I missed a lot of things. So where does this passion come from to fight also these huge fights, to never get tired, to wake up every day and work on this. It's because my past taught me that things can be pretty bad. But right now, I have this privileged life. I worked for it, so nobody was giving it to me. Nobody paid for it, so it was all my work. But at the end of the day, now I have these privileges and I have this power. I have this voice. And it's probably also my how I return something, because now my life is really easy and now I can do something for other people. Even though sometimes I have to wake up in the morning and I'm just like, oh my gosh, how do I even make it through this day, through this week? How do I survive the next weeks? Because if you're doing things on your own and by your own, sometimes life can be pretty tough. And we have to face this as well, because also, when people are smiling on social media or on stages, it does not mean that they really feel good. And also, when we were talking before we started record, I told you very personal things and you said to me, oh, I recognized you were not feeling well. But this happens. And sometimes maybe I should have shared it at the moment that I do not feel well.
You do not always need to share.
But sometimes you can't share it, because it's important to just show up with your facade to keep things running so that people will not lose the trust in you. But on the other hand, it's always like you always try to figure out how to deal with situations. And this is the only thing that I really can give people, or to ask people, just try to look, if you're interested, look behind the curtain, ask, offer your help. Whatever it is, sometimes help is just being there, not doing things for other people. It's just to say, hey, I see you. And if you need something, I'm here for you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Diana, for this wonderful personal talk. I really enjoyed it.
Me too. It was lovely. It was amazing. It was super interesting. I really like your opinion.
Thank you.
And thank you so much again for sharing and for being here at Blog Tales, telling your story. And thank you for all your work. I think it's super important what you're doing. And yeah, hopefully more and more women will come to Web3, be part of that amazing world, and yeah, just go for your dreams, do it.
Yes, let's shape our future together.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Bisous.
Bye.